Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration today is the opening verses of Luke, the Gospel, Luke chapter 17. I will read verses 1 through 5. And he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." I share that sentiment of the apostles when they were confronted with some what we would call the hard sayings of Jesus. This is one of the hardest sayings that our Lord, known as that good and gentle and faithful shepherd, these are words of warning. First of all, they're coming from Jesus, not only the Lord and Savior, but also the co-creator, the one through whom the word that all things, John says, were made for him and by him, and without him, nothing was made. He's speaking to his creation. He begins with this knowledge. Again, he is talking to the church, how the church must conduct themselves, its members, one to another. Jesus understands the nature of the world. He understands that the condition of the world that we have it right now is a place of temptation and sin. That temptation and sin began the moment Lucifer entered the garden to murder Adam by causing him to sin and enter into death. Thus, through sin, death entered the world. That's why all men die. He says, temptation to sin, it is sure to come. Again, because of the condition of the world. But woe to the one through whom they come. Again, Jesus is not addressing the world. The world cannot do anything but live a sinful, fallen lifestyle. But to those who have been redeemed by his grace, he sets a standard. You must abide in faith, believing. Don't let yourselves get caught up with the movements of the world that will lead you into sin, let alone lead the little ones into sin. You see, the breaking of God's laws, his commands, his will, his testimony is done in very various ways. First of all, it is a departure from God's created order. So sin comes through a disobedience. Sin is a disobedience to the commands and the created order that God has created. It's a departure from that created order, both in the celestial realm where the angels are, the spiritual realm, and also in the terrestrial realm, the earth, the physical heavens. You see, these laws that God created into the world to conduct the world and have it and ordered it, we would call them the laws of nature that govern time, space, and matter. They're inherent. He built them in to the creation. By those type of laws, we get morning and evening. We get animal reproduction. We get the circuits in the sky of the streams of air and in the oceans. The command was given to the oceans, go no further to the waves. And they obeyed the command of God, it says in the scriptures, and they would transgress on land no further. Oh, again, moderns in today's evolutionary world would like to explain all the physical why that happens. But we understand that God has given the laws of nature. In all of his creation, even though it is broke right now because of the fall, his nature conducts itself as God has commanded. In the celestial realm, we see God ordering things according to the way they should function as well. We see the principalities, the powers, the angels, the archangels, and the cherub, all abiding, all with a special function within the heavenly realm of how they are to conduct themselves. They have been given an estate in which God has created them for a specific purpose. They don't deviate from that purpose, except the one, and a third of the other angels he took with him. You see, the first sin entered into the world. Lucifer, one of the highest cherubs that was created, it says, you were made perfect in the day that you were created, until iniquity was found within you. That was the first sin in God's created order. That sin came out of the celestial realm and went into the garden and brought Adam into sin. And because he sinned, death entered the world. You see, God breaks up the world by the physical and the spiritual. That's why all evolutionary thought about the origins of the world are absolutely false. They're a lie. Because they don't include the spiritual realm in which God has created the world, and he governs it by. So in the physical realm that we're dealing with today, that Jesus is telling us, woe to you through whom sin comes into the world. Not only do you conduct the sin yourself and perform it, but you even encourage systems and develop systems that will cause even the young ones to sin. So of those laws that we have in the world, the Ten Commandments, the first three commandments deal with the worship of God. God created mankind to worship him, as well as the angels. It's their first and central estate to worship the Lord. Jesus in the Gospel of John says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Jesus, of course, was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and he offered her the water of life. She wanted, in her fallen human nature, to debate religion with him. Well, our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews worship on that mountain. But Jesus made one of the clearest declarations of the gospel dispensation. The time is coming when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking, listen to that, the Father is seeking such to worship him. Worship is the central act of the Christian life. So again, Jesus speaking to the church, if you don't get this first principle right of how God created the human race to be the first of all to worship him in spirit and truth, rest of the Christian religion is going to fall apart in your life. Oh, you might go through the motions, but it is going to be an empty, powerless faith. The Gospel of John, in regard to this, tells us the very nature of what sin is. He says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. For lawlessness is sin. Sin is lawlessness. So when we hear the commands of law, again, the command Jesus said in the Great Commission, which we've been talking about through the summer and the ordinary time, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And what are we to do with them? We're to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we are to teach them to observe all that the Lord has commanded us. Not some of it, not cafeteria Christianity, where we can pick and choose the teachings of the church as we think is right. And bring them into the doubt, or cast doubt upon them amongst the life of the congregation, amongst the life of your family, the life of the community, so that they do not adhere to the Word of God. They're not sure that they really can know the Word of God, that the teachings are clear, that God can actually communicate an objective standard to the people. When we throw the Word of God down, we are cooperating with the devil, who at the very beginning of the temptation of the fall of man was, did God really say? Did God really say? Do you really understand the Word of God correctly? So all of these movements, are absolutely an attack on the authority of God's created order in the world. The first one in the created order is God made man in his image and likeness for the earth. He gave human sexuality for procreation. It's natural law, one man, one woman, the family unit. It's the core of society. The family unit is God's image and likeness in the earth itself, male and female. When we break this model, we get our gender wars, our gender confusion, free sex, and all kinds of perversions within the sexual realm that we see today. These are all condemned by the Word of God. When we see these systems in the world, because often when we love these particular sins and we make an idol out of either money, we're covetous, what the Bible says money is an idol, human sexuality, all the pleasures and lusts of the world, it doesn't make any difference which ones they are. When we begin to deviate from the created order in which God created us to live and how to live, that's bad enough when we fall into all of these types of things in the world. But when our sin and our error begin to go down to the children, Jesus warned them, temptations are sure to come, but woe to them through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was cast into the sea, than he should cause one of these little ones who believe in me, as Mark says, to sin. Woe to you. So how does this happen? Why does the Lord then, the very next verse, tell us, pay attention? He's speaking to his church. Pay attention to these things and how they propagate through the world. Pay attention and understand, not with a worldly mind, but with a spiritually discerned mind from the Word of God that gives us wisdom and understanding how to live in obedience to him, in joy and love and fellowship with our Creator. You see, this type of sin can be direct sin or indirect. Many of us from confirmation might understand it in these terms, either the sin of commission or the sin of omission. Both of them are sin. The sin of commission, of course, is when we directly ourselves break those commands and encourage others to do so. The sin of omission might say, well, I wouldn't do that particular thing because I know it's not right, but I'm not going to say that anybody else shouldn't do it. Well, again, that's not consistent with God's commands for the human race. You see, not only do we sin against human relationships, but we can sin against God in the way we worship him. With the onset today of most of these particular sins as we see in humanity, some of the highest ones, of course, are the sexual sins. They're manifesting at a great rate today. But it's also the idolatry of money. As we're seeing these sports figures and many of these things around the world, games where these players are going for millions and millions of dollars a year contracts. Well, our children are absolutely encouraged to try to pursue those realms. In the humanity or in the sexual acts of humanity, we're seeing the perversion through our government, our court systems, into our educational systems, all the way permeate our society, bringing gender confusion into the life of a child, even to the point where our children are being taken off into medical, parents are taking them to have gender reorientation surgery. And many of them actually even recovering already in our day and then committing suicide because of what has happened. They were deceived, led astray. That's the sin. We might say, well, you know, we didn't do those things directly and we don't even support them. But that kind of ideology that pushes those types of things, have you voted for the politicians who have pushed them? Have you voted for the politicians who have made the laws that have killed and murdered 70 million babies in the world today? That's a sin, an indirect sin, by enforcing and taking on and championing systems of the world that will promote murder and evil in the eyes of the Lord. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what he has done in the body. If you promoted righteousness in the world, or you have helped and furthered unrighteousness to the destruction of children in the world, woe to you. Be warned. That's why our text today ends with this, and I'm glad it does. So what's the bright side, Pastor? Well, the Lord has, in fact, given us a solution and a cure for all these sins that occur not only in the world, but especially amongst us, either individually or corporately. If our brother sins in some of these things, either by doing them directly or by promoting them in our country and in our systems of the world, we're to rebuke them. We're to tell them exactly what the will of the Lord is for these things. And if he repents and says, I'm sorry, we're to forgive him. Even if he is to do it 7 times a day, if he truly repents and asks for forgiveness, we must forgive. Because the Lord doesn't just forgive everybody without repentance. No, if you don't repent from your sin, you will stand before his judgment throne, and judgment day will come. It is because of this that we have the power, it's often known in our Lutheran circles as the office of the keys, the binding and the loosing of sin. We have the ability to bring the word of God, the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It's the very power that can unlock the human heart and grant it repentance and entrance into the new life, the new creation. So tough was this saying that the final verse of our text says, even the apostles were sitting there listening. They had been following the Lord. And they heard this teaching and they said, Lord, increase our faith. When you hear this, do you sense you need an increase of faith? I do. I do. Because our Lord's words are stern. And his great love for humanity, for the reason that he's about ready to go to the cross and shed his blood, is to pay for all of these sins. There is no sin committed under heaven by which the Son of God, the blood of the Son of God, will not cleanse you if you repent and ask for forgiveness. That's the good news, and that's the gospel. For Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. As the Apostle Paul said too, he understood how great of forgiveness the Lord extended to him. What a grave sinner he was. I know in my own life, and I've testified from this pulpit before you many times, I too, like the Apostle Paul, was a chief of sinners. I probably forgot more about sin and evil than you have ever known. But I don't revel in those days, but I thank God for the grace that was extended to me, not by anything that I did, but solely by the grace of the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. He is our salvation, and he will not only forgive us our sins, he will forgive us as a community, and he will begin to heal us and restore us into his good favor. That's the gospel of the Lord. Amen.